mouth. She wants to ride and she's trying to hide.
Well, I am definitely not Jen Latta. Nor am I Gabe Neitzel. I am Ben Brust. With the pleasure of being on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy from 7 to 9 here on 94.5 ESPN, streaming on ESPN Milwaukee. Day one in free agency has come and gone. Any reactions you have, we'll take on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. My old pal Josh DiMaggio is running the show. And the beautiful, the strong, the God himself, Mark Chmura, the Packers Hall of Famer. What up, Chewy?
How you doing, buddy? Buddy, you don't, you're the second best athlete, I was going to say, on your show. But that would be grossly misunderstood. You're the second best athlete in the station.
Whoa, that's what we should do. We got to slow down a second here. Brad Nortman eats oatmeal that he makes every day. He works out. He doesn't put sugars in his body. That is Brad of Kyle Brust Nortman from 2 to 5 on 94.5 ESPN. He's probably in better shape.
He's a punter,
shape.
Though.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I can do more things. Just because he's in shape doesn't mean he's an like an.
No, I'm saying the station, Benny. I'm saying the station.
Yeah.
You're number two.
So you got Alex Stroh on Wednesdays and Thursday this week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And to those who are listening, it won't ever die. Alex Stroh of Mr. Irrelevant producing Kyle Brust and Nortman. He subs on this show when some people are out. If Chewy could see the video, he is technologically inept, and he was able to find Alex Stroh's three-cone combine drill video. It is the most unathletic feat I have ever seen in my entire life, and every time I've told somebody that I'm not overstating how abysmal the performance is, they go, "You're right, you didn't oversell it." So are you saying you're number one? What's your – I mean, it's Power Rankings Tuesday. We'll get there at 8:15. What do you got on the station in terms of athleticism?
Tausch.
Old T's got good feet.
He's got really good feet. He can do a lot of things. See, I measure it by if you can do a lot of athletic things well, you're a pretty damn athlete. Pretty good athlete.
Pretty damn athlete.
See, what knocks you down, Ben? And you probably know where I'm going with this. What knocks you way down? You have any idea?
Toughness, being soft.
No. What knocks you down is your little mishap at the golf tournament where you had two stitches and had to take the ambulance. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
That is as bad as Strophy.
You got an elephant memory. I was just going to say that, Joshy.
That is as bad, but there was no video, so it didn't blow up to Strophy level.
Yeah, I don't really have a leg to stand on there. But what I do know is the Packers did some stuff yesterday, some exciting stuff, Chewy. I know, you know, you're a big fan of the Goody way. I think you and Goot would, you know, get along well in Florida and retirement, talking football strategy. Yeah. You guys seem kumbaya.
Let me ask you a question first. Where do you, I know you're from Chicago. Are you a Bears fan?
I am not a Bears fan. At this point in my life, my favorite team, Chewy, is who I bet on.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. We all know what Joshy is based upon the production meeting.
Goody's assistant to the general manager, Josh DiMaggio.
I like Goody from the standpoint that, look, he's doing it his way. If people don't like it, he's patient. I respect that, you know? But I think he's dead wrong. I don't like his philosophy. I go back to the Ron Wolf school. I don't know why he's putting all this money in the offensive line. He's going to have to pay Zach Tom next year a boatload of money. And you're going to have Jenkins. You're going to have Tom. And who's the guy from yesterday?
That is Aaron Banks. For 77. Formerly of the Chiefs. Really front-loaded contract. About three for
Niners.
Oh, Niners. Did I say Chiefs? Yeah. Goodness gracious. Yeah, this whole 7 a.m. thing is tough.
Excuses already, too.
I mean, you're going to get it. It's part of the game. No excuses from the guy straight off of Mexico, so I'm proud of him. That being Mark Chmura.
They're coming.
It's early. It just takes a little time.
So, very front-loaded. I think first 3 years, I think $63 million. So here's what I... am interested in you saying the investment in the offensive line feels like Ron Wolf. For me, Chewy, the reason why it was shocking is because when you think about Goody and you think about the way that he builds rosters, he's done a good job in specific areas of drafting and developing, right? And we know drafting and developing is in the Packers' DNA of how they've built teams in the past. So when you talk about paying the piper on different offensive linemen, you know, moving forward after this year, why spend the money in free agency at a spot where you could have added depth in the draft? Was it that big of a need to go get a guy for 3 years when, you know, maybe in the third or fourth round you grab another guy and you still can mix and match the offensive line? Like, that's the only thing that I have questioning in my brain is, was this money well spent, or should it have been spent in a different place of need?
Okay, let me unpack this. I believe, you know, this team is all about superstars, right? It's really morphed into superstars. And offensive linemen typically aren't superstars. He's doing one or two things. He really wants to run the ball. He thinks Josh Jacobs has a few more years in him where he can be dominant. And he's probably trying to defuse defensive lines like Philadelphia, like Detroit, who's going to get Hutchinson back. Try and defuse that and give Jordan Love a little more time to throw the ball. That's fine. It's fine. But he didn't address – well, he addressed
one. You sound like my fiance. It's fine. It's fine.
So we're going to roll back because that's what it's leaning towards now. We're going to roll back with some draft picks. We're going to roll back the receiver position, which was a huge position of need, and the defensive line, right? That's what we believe. Do you think they're going to go out and get a defense? Do you think they're in the mix for Hendrickson in Cincinnati?
Do you think
they're going to pay him $30 million? That ain't happening.
At age 30, it doesn't seem like the Goody way. And you're gonna have to give up capital to get him in the first place, which does not seem like the Goody way.
Yes. Now, sure, they're gonna draft first round pick. Would my guess now be a receiver? I don't think they'll go D lineman as quickly as I mean, we're only 2 years removed from Van Ness. I'd be surprised if they go in that direction with the first. And it's not a very good draft. I know you don't want to pay DK Metcalf $30 million and give up a second-round pick for him, but that's what wins championships.
Is it? Like that? That's where I got to stop for a second. Like,
I feel like the Philadelphia Eagles won it offensive line and defensive line.
They were the best defense on both. It started up front, which probably made their pass defense the best in the NFL.
I find it interesting, Ben. You mentioned the Packers' ability to draft and develop offensive line. The reason I think the Packers have been forced into a situation where they need to invest in free agency is Goody has basically thrown multiple picks at certain positions that typically he wouldn't have. Like last year alone, he two draft picks at middle linebacker and three of them at safety. And that those two positions now seem to be somewhat fixed.
You could say that those two positions did need some sort of an overhaul.
And the year previous, he spent multiple picks on wide receivers and on tight ends. There isn't the depth that we are used to because he spent multiple picks at multiple positions. So, like, if you look at the guys back there, like, Jacob Monk didn't play a snap. That, to me, tells me that guy's not ready and probably isn't developing the right way. And then the left guard, Lucas Glover, who was the replacement for Elgton Jenkins when he got hurt, couldn't play a snap. Kadeem Telford came
in.
That
was bad.
So, like...
Yeah, but Josh, he's backfilling positions that are way down on the totem pole when it comes to positions on the field.
I don't think he's
safety
backfilling.
Safety is a bottom-level tier position. That's why they're paid accordingly. It goes quarterback. It goes D-line. It goes receiver. It goes cornerback. It doesn't go fullback, tight end,
nobody's paying fullbacks.
Safety.
What is Kyle Juszczyk was just released.
He's free.
The best fullback in the NFL is on the market. Chewy, let's go get Juszczyk.
I mean, Xavier McKinney, you could say whatever you want about him, but he's an all-pro, one of the best in all the NFL.
We're all pushed back on Chew on the McKinney thing is when Jeff Hafley was hired and did his press conference as what he wants in a defensive as a defensive coordinator at the safety position, he wanted God.
Yes.
Back there. He wanted Iron Man. He wanted the guy who could do everything. Yeah. And they went and got McKinney. But I will say, Chewy, to your point, it feels really disgusting right now looking at the wide receiver room. It just does. It's gross. It's yucky. It's gugh. It's gugh. Like, poor Jordan Love. Yes, it's hard to get mad at a general manager for investing in the offensive line. It's hard to because it is important, and based off the play of the offensive line in the second half of the season, you know you needed to shore that up because you paid Jordan Love top dollar to be a franchise quarterback. But he also, in the middle of the season, talked about how the guys that we still are running back at wide receiver were not able to get separation and win one-on-one battles. So something's got to give here.
No, I totally agree. You know, and you have your best receiver that we don't know how long he's going to be out. Now, they're going to draft the guy in the second round and throw him in there, and he's going to do nicely until he misses the last 11 games of the season. But, I mean, I kind of applaud his patience, but are we in the middle of it? Where's the window in this thing? And then as far as the offense, look, when I played, we didn't pay our offensive line anything. Nothing. Earl Dotson was middle of the pack. Timberman was young. He was probably making $150,000 a year. Frankie was probably paid bottom third centers in the league. Aaron Taylor just played his rookie year, so he didn't make a lot. And then we had Bruce Wilkerson, who was probably making minimum. Ron paid his superstars. That's what he did. You know? I know we have a nice running game, and he's going to feel comfortable, but Benny, I'm with you. If you got no one to throw to, give him 7 seconds. It doesn't matter. And I don't know if I would have done the DK Metcalf deal, but I certainly would have entertained it a hell of a lot more than they did, and he never called Devontae. This whole thing of like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. The defensive line just needs to adjust to the 4-3. If you want to go that route, it's fine. But my experience is it don't work.
That is the Chewy experience, different than the Goody experience that we're all living in right now. Jason Wilde's going to join us next. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Jen, no Gabe. Ben Brust with the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Chmura. Josh DiMaggio running the show. Taking your texts right now at the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. And, of course, on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Jason Wilde will join us next. Maybe he'll shed some light into believing in the Chewy strategy versus the Goody strategy. Who would you rather have as your GM, Chewy or Goody? Put that on the JGC Twitter poll next.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ben Brust in for Jen Latta and Gabe Neitzel. Chewy hanging out with me. And Josh DiMaggio as well. Excited to welcome in Jason Wilde into Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. What's up, Jason?
Not much, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Chewy, how are you doing, man? I mean, you know.
I'm trying to get back into the groove here, you know.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how grumpy? 10 being grumpy.
Tuesday. I'm fine. I recharged the batteries. The place sucked, but it was fine.
You're a 6. 6 grumpy.
I'm a 6? I'm not grumpy.
Jason, I found this interesting as our sister station over at ESPN 1000 is doing a little, as they call, spring trading. So Sylvie is putting up a poll. Our guy Sylvie of Waddle and Sylvie, typically 2:30 to 6:30 on ESPN 1000, put up a poll that I was not expecting. Would you rather Aaron Rodgers play for the Steelers or the Vikings? 35% say the Steelers, 23% say the Vikings, 42% say don't care. The reason I find it interesting is you have two teams there, another one with the Giants that he was rumored to, all playing the Packers. I mean, it would be crazy interesting if we got to see Aaron Rodgers play against the Packers.
Yeah, I'm definitely in on that. Maybe even in Dublin on September 28th per Capital J journalist Ben Brust, who broke that news. So I really hope that he ends up with a team that plays the Packers. That would be great. I'm big time on board with that.
Jason, why is Goody putting so much money into the offensive line? This is, it feels to me like the polar opposite of Ron, who didn't pay O-linemen a lot. I mean, they're going to have to pay Zach Tom before the start of this season, or definitely, you know, obviously the following year. But what are they? Is this their way to defuse the great D lines at the top of the NFC?
Well, I think it's a couple things. You're right, and by the way, if I'm Elgton Jenkins, I've got 2 years left on my deal. I've got some pretty big cap numbers. I would like an extension, right? Especially given the numbers of this Aaron Banks deal. I am very curious about the structure of this Aaron Banks deal, because you know how agents are. They love to puff out their chest. And while the Aaron Banks deal is reportedly 4 years, $77 million, I have not seen anyone report the signing bonus, the guaranteed money. I saw Spotrac had that the only guaranteed money is the signing bonus, which is not unusual with the Packers and the way they structure deals. But the fact that the agent never gave Shefty or Rappaport or Tom Pelissero the signing bonus number makes me wonder if that $77 million is a little funny money-ish, right? Because, I mean, that is a big number. I mean, a really big number. And for a guy that, you know, I mean, I certainly have not spent a lot of time breaking down the film of 49ers offensive line play. But I don't think he's a guy that is like someone who universally was viewed as, oh, this guy's a guy that there's going to be a bidding war for. So I'm super curious, you know, and we don't know the structure because it's not even, the contracts don't even exist right now. Not till tomorrow can they actually even be signed. So I think that bears watching. But I do think this philosophically, to answer your question, I think Goody and LaFleur walked out of Lincoln Financial Field on January 12th thinking we need our offensive line to be better like Philly's, because Philly's offensive line dominated that game and really was dominant throughout the postseason. That's a great group. And we got to get our defensive linemen to be able to get pressure with four, which again, Philly does, because those are the two things that make everything else go. Like, I think that that was, I don't want to say eye-opening, because I'm sure they knew that it all starts up front, but I thought that that was probably a lesson that they took as they walked out of the stadium.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on 94.5 ESPN. You know, Jason, Chewy and I were discussing the prospect of running it back, which I don't know if that will necessarily be the case in the wide receiver room. But when you look at the free agents, a lot of them are old and they don't fit the Goody type. There's one that is shocking that actually might make sense, as Christian Watson might be hurt for the start of the season. Is there any possibility that MVS will be a Green Bay Packer?
Sure. I don't know if there's actual interest or not, but
I'm glad you say that, as we learned yesterday that there was no actual interest in Devontae Adams.
Yeah, exactly. So they're in a position where, and I don't think that they're super optimistic that Christian Watson's going to be somehow ahead of schedule on this. Like, you know, Tausch gives me a hard time for saying that he won't be back until mid-November, but that's what TJ Hockenson's timeline was, and he actually hurt his, he actually tore his ACL for the Vikings earlier in the end of the season than Watson did in January. I think Hockenson tore his at the end of the 23 season in like mid to late December, so a couple weeks earlier than Watson. So I don't see how, especially given Watson's game, how he gets back any sooner than sometime in mid-November. And that's a long time to wait for him, and you don't have anyone. I love Bo Melton, man. He's such a great kid and an underrated player. We saw what he did in Minnesota during the 23 season. First guy on that team to have a 100-yard receiving performance. He can run. He's really fast, but he's not obviously the same guy as Christian Watson is. So they need somebody that's capable of taking the top off the defense, and that's, in my opinion, the one thing that MVS does really well. And I don't know if Goody likes him again or wants him back again, but he does make sense.
Jason, is this window not as open as much as we think it is? Because I agree with you. With the offensive line, you know, with the addition of Banks, they could be in the same conversation as Philly. And Detroit has a very good offensive line. But they're miles away when it comes to defensive line in Detroit and Philly. And even from the receiver. And even like Detroit, I would take LaPorta over Tucker Kraft right now. He's just better receiver. Is it the window? I thought it'd be farther open. Is what I'm saying. The window seems kind of the same right now going into next year as it was this last year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, look, no one last year in free agency, they added a guy that had no business even being available, right, in Xavier McKinney. Mm-hmm. And a stud running back who led the league in rushing 1 year, who was 3 years younger than Aaron Jones. Like, there was... the buzz was palpable last year. No one's excited about Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks. They're just not. Yeah. You know, but I would say that they both filled pretty obvious needs. And let's not forget how much flux that offensive line is in. You mentioned that Zach Tom's going to get paid, and he is. But you know, the other tackle, Rashid Walker, is going to be a free agent after this season. Sean Ryan is going to be a free agent after this season. They're not bringing back Josh Myers. Like, four out of the five positions, Elton's the only one who's not, who's either a free agent this year or going to be a free agent next year. So that's why the move makes sense. Again, I want to see the structure because it sure feels like they overpaid for the guy. And I get that, but if the guaranteed money's not that high, then it'll make a little bit more sense. But yeah, my point
and Jason,
is,
did you see from Pelissero that $63 million over the first 3 years doesn't include the guaranteed, but it seems very front ended, which makes sense based off the contracts the Packers have been giving in free agency.
Yeah, and again, that to me, that's another sign that what the agent is leaking to those guys is to try and look as good as possible with this contract, because he gave him $63 million over the first 3 years, but he didn't give him what the guaranteed money is. So there's something fishy about that. And we'll see again when it comes out. But my point is that, you know, that is something that they needed. They needed to shore up that group. They're losing Myers. They cannot go through what they did in Philly with two young guys getting absolutely blasted by the best defensive line in football, and it's short-circuiting everything they try to do offensively. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with Jordan Morgan. Does this mean that he's going to compete with Rashid Walker to be the left tackle? I mean, I think Rashid Walker had a solid year, but not a great year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how solidified he is going into a contract year. The other thing, and I was talking to somebody that works in the building about this, that, you know, I think with Tucker Kraft and with Luke Musgrave, you know, I think Matt LaFleur is probably going to want to have the offense run through that tight end group more. I think they still think Luke Musgrave can be a very good player if he's healthy. I think they love where Tucker Kraft is at, and I think he's only going to get better. So, you know, not quite Shimura and Keith Jackson, and not Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, minus the murdering. But I think it's really interesting that that's a direction that they could go offensively. And if they do, because look, to the point you guys made at the beginning of this conversation, like, the wide receiver options, it's a desert. Like, there's not anybody to be excited about in free agency, and this draft class isn't nearly as good as some of the ones they've had the last few years, where they, you know, you're talking about 7-8 guys as potential first round picks. That's not the case this year. So that would be really interesting to me if it became a more tight end driven offense, and what exactly that would mean.
Jason, what were your thoughts on not contacting Devontae and not even being in the mix with DK?
Yeah, I saw that the social media post from KBN of my appearance with them. I saw a lot of people responding with some negative replies on Twitter. Look, I don't think that they owed it to Devontae. I'm not mad, but yeah, I think Devontae was definitely surprised, and yes, probably disappointed that there wasn't any interest at all. I'm not saying they had to sign him. Like, Goody gets to sign whoever he wants. But the fact that, and I told Ben this yesterday, like, the fact that they had no interest in him whatsoever, like, not even enough to, you know, make a phone call to Frank Bauer, his agent, and, you know, talk about it, like, it was clear, if you caught him on Kay Adams, that he was dropping breadcrumbs left and right, mm-hmm. that he wanted to come back. And look, the Rams paid him well. Like, somebody telling me, well, the Rams don't think much of him either. They guaranteed $26 million of his deal, including $6 million in 2026 in the form of a roster bonus.
Is like, he older than Cooper Kupp, too, who they moved on from? Like,
right.
that's belief, if you ask me.
Right. So again, I don't know what Goody was thinking. I think I assume it's that 32 is once again too old for him. Right now his roster has one guy who celebrated his 30th birthday, and that's the kicker, McManus. So I think he believes once you're over 30, he's kind of done with you. And that's why, going back to the offensive line, Elton Jenkins is 29. He is going to turn 30. Is he going to get a third contract? Because, you know, I don't know, if you think about it, the second or third contracts Goody has given out lately.
Kenny Clark Bakhtiari
with a Bakhtiari with a third contract, Gary with a second contract, Jair with a second contract. I find myself wondering sometimes if he's going to give anybody new deals. Like, I still think Zach Tom's going to get one, but is there anything based on how things have gone of late for him that tells you that he would also extend Sean Ryan or also extend Rashid Walker? Like, I kind of feel like he might just keep saying, all right, we'll just keep replenishing positions and build up more draft picks and keep doing it that way, because more often than not, these guys that get new contracts disappoint me. But again, we'll see. Every guy's different, and maybe Goody will extend more guys and take that risk.
So, Jason, appreciate the time. Here's what I would say on the Devontae thing. I don't think they owe it to Devontae to reach out, but based off the way that we're talking about the wide receiver room, they owe it to the team to potentially reach out to get better.
They owe it to Jordan Love.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how I look at it. I'm not saying it was that just because you reached out was going to happen. I feel like you got to inquire when you're looking around at your room, and it'd be great to utilize the tight ends more. But the division is tough. The skill positions are really good. It just feels like a little bit of malpractice not to reach out, in my opinion. But what do I know? Appreciate the time.
Well, and you also have three players that were actively recruiting him. including their quarterback. So they clearly wanted you to reach out. And, you know, for a guy that says he wants to be in every conversation, in this instance, there was no conversation.
Well, we appreciated your conversation, Jason. You're coming up next here on 94.5 ESPN. Is it with Old T or Brian Bulaga? Who's from 9 to noon today?
No, I believe Mark Tauscher is gracing us with his presence the rest of the week. So we're
what a privilege.
Look forward to it.
It's an honor.
I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve for the first segment.
No doubt. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason across 94.5 ESPN and ESPN Wisconsin from 9 to noon. Chew, lots of dissect there. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We need a wide receiver conversation because Joshy was trying to sell us some jargon, as I always use that word wrong. Did I use it wrong again, Josh?
Yeah, it's typically not. Jargon is like technical terms. So if you're like in the medical community, if you started using
You were
those,
saying stupid stuff to me and Chewy before the show. We're going to discuss that stupid stuff.
It's
next.
Way better than jargon.
Yeah,
way better.
You're stupid.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Is it a Hughes Day here? Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Ben Brust in for Jen Latta and Gabe Neitzel. Tough shoes to fill there. With Mark Jamura, the Packers Hall of Famer. Early results are looking good for you, Chew. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Well, they were looking good. We put up on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll at Twitter X, at Jen, Gabe, Chewy. Today's Infinity Exteriors first Twitter poll. Shout out to the first Twitter poll.
Yeah,
proud to be a part of that with Infinity Exteriors. Nice. Who would you prefer as the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, Brian Gutekunst or Chewy? You were leading the way early, but now Goody is 71% to your 29%.
That's a big win, Chew.
Take it. What's that? That's a win?
Yeah, 31% of people picking you? Big win.
I'd be a lot more aggressive, I could tell you that.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we were talking before the show, and you posed a question in which I find how we got to it interesting, and then what we were kind of mentally playing some mental gymnastics with each other of like what this means. You had asked, who is the worst wide receiving core in the NFC? Not the NFC North. I think we would all agree right now the wide receiving core of the Green Bay Packers is probably to the bottom. But in the NFC, Joshy brought up some interesting teams. The Carolina Panthers. Stink.
We're doing top 10, so don't get too nutso here.
Well, okay. Well, that's
no,
a power.
Go with the crap. You can,
yeah, that's
you can
a power rankings tease. I'm going with the crap.
Okay, crap's fine.
Crap's fine, because we know the Packers aren't going to be in power rankings. I can tell you that much.
No.
I won't have them on my guessing game. As it pertains to the crap, he said the Carolina Panthers. He said the New Orleans Saints. He said the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. The problem that I have is that three of those teams arguably have a wide receiver one. Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison, whether you think he's that good or not. Again, it's more of like bigger potential than Romeo Doubs. And maybe you put Jaden Reed in the mix of being to that because he's shown flashes, but then he disappeared the second half of the season. And then obviously Jaxon Smith-Njigba for the Seattle Seahawks. So like, and then when we just talked about what the Rams did in terms of you wanting to be aggressive as a general manager, if you were one, the Rams have, I don't say they have a wide receiver one, they have two wide receiver ones. So it's just fascinating how all the conversation, we heard Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch talk about, sounds like the Packers are going to be aggressive in free agency. A lot of agents are talking about the Packers are inquiring about their guys. Goody at the end of the season, after they lost, Chew said, we need to have an urgency and we need to win championships. actions over words? And would you say that this is Goody's actions to make them a championship team? Or is this just year three of his five-year plan and it's moving towards next? Like, is this just a year towards just a stepping stone towards later?
I don't think he has the urgency as much as the fans do. I think ultimately, and I'd like to know how he would, if I was in a room with him, I would say, how would you rank the positions on the field? And I think his rankings would be not markedly different than mine, but they would be different. And I think ultimately his downfall, if this doesn't work out, is going to be he's too hung up on youth. He's just too hung up on youth. You know, that's the thing about Ron. Ron always supplemented our roster in positions with older guys that have lost a step, but their brains are better when they were younger. They're smarter, you know, because you can extend a career if you're smart. You know, you might not get to point A as quick, but you know when you can cheat and get your way to point A. I just don't like this youth movement. Everyone gets a med, you know, everyone gets a blue ribbon for being the youngest. Who gives a crap, man? Just get guys that can play. And then when it comes to positions, I mean, I would rank them like this. And we did back when we played. And the game's a little different now, but obviously quarterback is one. In today's NFL, I would say D-line is two. Then I would probably say cornerback is three, receiver is four.
Man, you got the O-line behind all that.
O-line five. Safety six, linebacker seven.
Where's the running back?
Running back. The problem with running backs is there's probably only three or four elite ones in the league, as opposed back when I played, there were more solid backs. I just like to see how he would rank them. Because I think, would you agree with me, Ben, that this league is all about superstars? And I'm stealing that from Gabe.
So
if you don't have superstars, you ain't going to win.
When I look at the rankings you just gave, quarterback one, we can all agree they prioritized that. Defensive line, here's what I'll say to you. It may not be good, but you can't say he hasn't prioritized it. 20% of the cap went towards the defensive line last year. The investments in the draft have been towards the defensive line. Now, whether or not Kenny Clark's contract was good, that's a third contract. You know, he wasn't great last year.
Whether or not Rashawn Gary's contract was good.
He was next. What's going to suck is if LVN sucks. It will go down as maybe the worst 13th pick in the NFL draft, and will hurt. And I think
worst 13th overall pick?
Yeah, worst. Just the worst.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, look up 13th overall picks, Joshy. Find me someone worse than LVN through 2 years.
I would trade out of 13, number one. I'm out. I don't want, because I'm superstitious. I'm like, not 13. Give me a second.
You know whose favorite number that is?
Who?
Taylor Swift, your girl.
Really? That's odd. And that's odd that you know that.
Joshy's a closet Swiftie.
Is he really?
She famously like writes it on everything.
Joshy went to a Swiftie concert in Nashville.
It was good. Enjoyed it.
By choice?
No. Joshy's reached the point in his relationship where he goes where he's told.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fair.
And then at cornerback being the third prioritized position, we haven't even talked about the weird, we're not done with Jaire Alexander conversation. I don't know. Is that weird to anyone else? Like, at this point in the game, you've been holding on to him, asking teams what they'd want in a trade for Jaire. Just cut him at this point. Unless.
Well, I think they're sticking it to him.
Yeah, but isn't that hurting the Packers? I guess they can cut them and it helps the cap space, but I don't know. Like,
he has flexibility based on his contract and not having any like bonuses and stuff like that involved. Like, typically those happen like at the second or third league day of the league year. I mean, we saw Christian Kirk get traded after they already said he was going to be released.
True.
So I have a feeling they're just like, can I get a sixth for him? Can I get anything?
No. No one's going to want his contract.
That's the problem.
He's just going to get cut at the end of the day. So I just don't.
Or is there a chance that they keep him?
It's a hard thing to do after everything that's transpired.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He would just be even more unhappy in Green Bay. And if he was remotely hurt, he'd be like, bleep you, I'm not playing again.
I don't think he'd be too chill about coming back.
Well, Josh, let me ask you about Hobbs.
Hobbs?
I mean, they're saying... Isn't his name Hobbs?
His name is
you
Hobbs.
Just said it funny.
You're just interesting.
Yeah, Hobbs. I mean,
I think you asked Hobbs with a question mark. Yeah. It was like his name's Hobbs, right? The cornerback they signed.
Yes. Is he? They said he was Pittsburgh's number one cornerback, but a $12 million average isn't elite corner.
No, so he predominantly played in the slot, and the news, I believe Ryan Wood tweeted it out from a source, that they plan for him to be an outside corner. So basically, they're making a bet on a guy who they think can be an outside corner. I do think Keyshawn Nixon's going to probably remain in the one, but it's probably going to be a 1A, 1B, and he's going to have the flexibility to come down into the slot because he was, based on like snaps and amount of time spent there, he was one of the best in the league at the slot position, at covering it. So
do we believe that they're done with splash free agency?
Yes.
I think splash. Yeah.
Dobbs is kind of your didn't really cost a lot. Hobbs. He's your Josh Jacobs.
We're gonna have a problem with that all year.
Dobbs and Hobbs is gonna be a real bugaboo for this show.
It's gonna be. Hey, Ben, to Josh's defense though, he said it was coming.
Well, we both were really scared when you said Hobbs with a question mark. We can feel the question mark. You're like, Hobbs. Yeah. Is it Dobbs or is it Hobbs?
And then Banks is McKinney. That was your big one, right?
You got Banks.
Yes.
So they're done. They're done.
I think.
Except for some peripheral. God, I just don't feel good about. What the hell are they doing at receiver? I mean, really? What in the
They're not
hell
doing
are
anything,
they doing?
Chewy. They're not.
Yeah. So you started this conversation as like pitting me against it. I've been pounding the table for wide receiver one. I don't think, short of what we saw happen with Devontae or DK, there really was a feasible option out there that existed. So I'm not too mad with what they did yesterday in a vacuum.
Because it's not like there was a plethora of guys that they could have signed at wide receiver
Correct.
That would move the needle where everyone's like, oh man, we're vamped now. I mean, we got the guy. There wasn't the guy out there once DK was being traded for a second and a $30 million extension. And once the Rams paid Devontae Adams and obviously Goody just wasn't interested in Devontae.
Yeah, my frustration was the utter lack of concern with those first two guys that went on Sunday. You didn't. If you want to be in or out on DK, that's your pick. I don't think he's an elite-level player. I don't think he's worth that money, and I don't think he's worth a second-round pick on top of that. The lack of interest totally in Devontae, very frustrating. Not even to, like, and I know we're in the conversation, whatever it is, but you didn't even entertain it.
They weren't.
You didn't view it as that big of a need for your team, which I disagree with. Now, his philosophy of building the team the way he is right now with the free agents he has, I'm fine with it. Now you have your offensive line locked down. Jordan Morgan's probably going to end up starting.
At right guard.
Maybe left tackle. Like, Rasheed Walker isn't special.
He's not special, but it's a little concerning that, like, literally within the first week of training camp last year, Jason Wilde came on here and Rob Domofsky came on here. Oh, yeah, that's Rasheed Walker's job. Like, Jordan Morgan's not close yet.
I think that, I mean, that's just NFL coaches being NFL coaches. A guy's ready or he's not. Like, Jordan Morgan, to me, is a long-term plan. I'm not ready to sell the ship on him. LVN, you're bad until you prove otherwise to me. I've seen enough. Either go out and do something, or you're a one-contract and out of here guy.
But the reason, is it the reason we feel kind of deflated, little pit in the stomach, is we really have no idea who these players are. Last year, we knew McKinney. We targeted McKinney. We got McKinney.
Yeah.
And then
they're not sexy names.
And then Josh Jacobs, obviously, we're sad to see Aaron go, but Josh Jacobs, big name. Is that part of it?
Of course it's part of it, but at the end of the day, what guys would have been big names that we didn't already just discuss available?
Benny, this is what I would have done if I was GM, and I should raise in the polls right here.
All right, make your pitch for the Twitter poll at Jen Gabe Chewy right now. Who would be a better general manager of the Packers?
I would have flip-flopped. I would have went and got a $77 million corner, and then I would have got a $48 million offensive lineman. That's what I would have done.
Based off the Chewy power rankings of positions, one quarterback, two defensive line, three cornerback, four wide receiver, five offensive line, it fits the Mark Chmura standard and blueprint of how to be successful as a general manager of the Green Bay Packers.
You agree with me or no?
I would, knowing that Keyshawn Nixon is still cornerback one and Carrington Valentine is CB2 and Dobbs is a slot corner.
Benny, Dobbs. It's not so much that.
He did it
Benny,
to me.
Benny, it's not so much that. It's the rolling the defensive line back, which is another 2 seconds for that corner to cover.
I get that.
The problem. If they went and got someone in free agency that was a stud, D end, then I'd be like, you know what? I'm not that bad with Keyshawn. I'm not that bad.
I think basically if you switch out, let's say, Chase Young for Banks, I think people are a lot more optimistic today.
Joey Bosa allegedly is out there for $9
million. Nah, he's injury prone.
Injury prone and past the age that Goody likes his players.
And the biggest contract I think I saw was the Byron Murphy to Minnesota for a corner. That's a guy who I think you can be excited about, but he has like degenerative knee issues. And the Packers just aren't, they're risk adverse there when it comes to injuries. And I think they have seen recently that they're going to avoid those.
What did the corner get that they were targeting? Remember, I think it was last week, they're like, hey, they really like
DJ Reed. And that's weird because he was announced to Detroit and then people kind of pulled back on it. So we don't know the full details unless that happened and I missed it last night.
I haven't seen the official, but again, they got Carlton Davis was gone and then they replenished allegedly with DJ Reed, who would have been probably right up the Chewy alley of who he would have wanted as a general manager.
Also, he's 5'9".
Hobbs is 6'1". This is Chewy's fault.
Yeah, but he plays in the slot. I could play in the slot years ago.
Now I'm going to start calling him Josh Dobbs, the horrible quarterback. Yeah. That's how big of a name
he signed
he was.
A free agent contract.
Oh, I thought you were talking the natural because there's a Dobbs and Roy Dobbs.
Roy Hobbs. Isn't that his name?
Get us out of here, Josh.
Right, get me out of here. Had enough.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy's making a comeback on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Who would you prefer as the general manager of the Green Bay Packers? Brian Gutekunst, 65%. Mark Chmura, after giving his power rankings of important positions, up to 35%.
I got a bump.
Might see a dip after the whole Dobbs-Hobbs situation.
Well, that's the thing, is it's Ben Brust and Mark Chmura with you on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. List is more, and we're streaming live on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. I blame Josh DiMaggio for this, Chew. Yesterday on Kyle Bruston-Nortman, Alex Stroff, our producer, who will be hosting with you the next 2 days on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Good luck.
Yeah.
He had put on the YouTube stream the Green Bay Packers signed Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs. And so anytime, it was a miracle I didn't say Dobbs. It was great that Chewy's the one who started it first. Yeah. I would just turn to my right and I saw Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks because I wanted to call them Adam Banks from the Mighty Ducks a million times. And the whole Nate Hobbs is too close to Dobbs thing. So
see, I blame Ashton.
Yeah, me too.
That's a good
Ashton,
point.
Ashton, the content manager. Who thought it was a good idea to put two morons together and did a morning show?
I was shocked that he reached out. He's like, hey, Jen and Gabe are out. Do you want to host with Chewy? I was like, do you know what that's going to lead to?
No, but I know. But when he did that, do you kind of, and I wouldn't blame you if you did it. I'd probably do it if I had to work with myself too. do you kind of go?
No, I was like, you know, Chew, we're not so different, you and I, when it comes to the whole names and, you know, getting everything correct. I was like, it's just going to be two guys figuring it out as they go.
Well, which is fine. I never claimed to be the sharpest tool in the shed, well, you know?
We didn't need you and to Josh, claim that.
Josh gave fair warning when he said it's coming, don't worry.
That's right.
I disagree with the grumpiness.
Yeah. Look,
I wasn't grumpy.
You've been great. Now we've done the thing where we've caught, like, we put it in your head that you might be grumpy, and I think you're starting to turn grumpy.
I mean, good trip. The resort sucked. We're done with it. It's been 12 years. I've had enough.
You went to the same resort for 12 years?
Yeah.
Is this like the Disney freaks that go to Disney every year? You go to the same resort every year?
No, I do it because the group that we go with, that number one, they're members there. Timeshares are the dumbest thing. Yeah. I mean, you're dumb if you do a timeshare thing, and they're dumb.
Is that our third poll? Are you dumb if you do a timeshare?
The fact that they have 60 weeks left at this resort where I just pay for it and don't have to, I owe them nothing. I'm done. I said, no, I'm done just because you have to go there. I'm not going there.
Wait.
It used to be great.
You've been going
now
for free?
Sucks.
They pay the timeshare and you just tag along?
No, it's a place that you have a timeshare and you just regular schmoes can go along, you know?
Hold on. So they've paid for 60 more weeks of this timeshare?
Yeah.
So they have to be there for 60 more weeks of their lives?
Well, that's what they have. Yes.
That is so much.
So all it is you give a downstroke.
They better love that place.
Yeah. No, and it's gone downhill. It's been sold like three times. Uh-uh. So they take the downstroke for the timeshare, and then they get a 50%. Used to get a 50% discount. Now it's down to a 25%, where the difference, I never gave a downstroke or anything. The difference going this time was maybe $500. I'm like, you guys are so dumb, and I'm out. Give it the old Mike Sherman. I'm out.
So I'm really fascinated because Joshy DiMaggio and I looked up some Super Bowl odds when Chewy had to go garden. Chewy has no idea what's coming next. Don't go anywhere. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in 2 minutes.